Today, I was scrolling through Reddit and I was looking at some of the questions that people had about practice ownership. And I was thinking I might just make a video answering some of these questions. So here are some of the top questions on practice ownership that I found on Reddit. Here's one. Who should or shouldn't buy a dental practice? It says, in your opinion, what personality traits determine whether or not an individual should or shouldn't buy a dental practice? What has your experience been personally with associate versus ownership? What factors do you think influence this decision, work-life balance, view on debts, desired levels of autonomy or control? All right. So for me personally, I have found ownership to be incredibly rewarding. My first year as an owner, I made $700,000. So from a financial point of view, being an owner absolutely makes sense. Now, there's a few use cases where I wouldn't recommend being an owner. Number one, when you first get out of school, it's generally a good idea to get a job somewhere that you can work on getting your speed up 1 year max. Now, I do know dentists who have bought practices right out of school, and I think that's great if that's for you. But if you want to have a little bit of time to get your speed up, I think 1 year out of school is a good time to be an associate. Work for a DSO. Also, it helps for getting a practice loan to have some money saved up. You know, try to save up at least $50,000-$75,000 in an emergency fund. The other person who maybe should be an associate is if you're at a time in your life when you don't want to work at least 3 days a week. If as an owner, you can easily work 3 days a week, you know, but if you want to work four or five, that's fine too. But if you're only wanting to work 1 or 2 days a week, being an owner can be more difficult. You know, if you're just in this transition period in your life and maybe you just had kids or whatever and you want to cut back for temporarily, that can be a good time to work as an associate. Also, if you're in the process of moving, you're going to a new city, you don't know if you want to stay where you are, you know, temporarily it can make sense to be an associate. But overall, I think most dentists should be owners. No one is going to feel ready to be an owner when they get started. You have to jump in and get started before you actually know what it's like. You're not going to know everything. You're never going to feel prepared. You just have to get started. Is it going to be a challenge to be an owner? Of course, there's always going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties, but you just got to get started. You just got to do it. You're going to learn. It's going to get easier. And then you're going to end up having so much more control over your career, as well as making so much more money than you would if you're working as an associate. Here's another question that's kind of interesting. It says, did anyone work with DDS Match Broker for buying a dental office? I currently am in the process of looking to buy a dental practice, and I came across a few listings with DDS Match. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but yes, I've worked with DDS Match. DDS Match is great. It's one of the practice brokers. There are multiple different practice broker companies, and each company is going to have multiple brokers that have various regions that they're in charge of. So DDS Match, for instance, is one of the largest. They're going to have a bunch of different brokers for your various areas. What you need to do is you need to work with every single broker that is in your area. I had someone I was working with the other day, and they said, well, I already reached out to a broker and I'm working with this broker. That's not how it works. Sellers reach out to one broker and a broker lists their practice. But if you only reach out to one of the brokers in your area, you're only going to find out about the practice that that specific broker is listing. A broker is not like a realtor. When you reach out to a realtor, the realtor is going to take you and show you all the different houses, because with a real estate type sell, there's generally a realtor for the seller and a realtor for the buyer. And so when you find your realtor, that's the realtor for the buyer, and the seller has their realtor, and your realtor is on your side. They're going to be taking around showing you all the different houses. But when you talk to a practice broker, they are only working for the seller. You just happen to be a customer that is coming by. And if you want to buy the practice, great. But if not, they're going to find another seller. A practice broker is not going to show you all the practices that are for sale in your area. In most areas, especially in cities, there's going to be at least 5, 6, you know, there might be more practice brokers for your area that are each going to have different practices. You need to find every practice broker in your area and reach out to each and every one of them. And you need to keep reaching out, because they will forget about you. You will fall through the cracks. You need to be keeping in touch and nagging these practice brokers to make sure that they are getting back to you about these practices. So to answer the question, yes, you should work with DDS Match, but you should also work with all of the other practice brokers. You can search Google and find practice brokers in your area. You can also talk to supply reps that are in your area, as they might know more practice brokers that you're not aware of. Also, there's a website, Provide. They provide dental practice loans. I've actually gotten a loan through Provide before. They're great. They have a website that helps you find practices in your area you can search by. Just make sure you're finding every practice broker in your area. All right, here's another post. It says, after buying a practice, help with next steps. I am close to closing on a practice. I realize there's a lot of things I need to do, even things that I don't know I had to do. I need someone who can help walk me through the steps of running and acquiring an existing practice. Now, first off, I see one of the first comments that's on this post says something along the lines of, well, you shouldn't be buying a practice if you don't know what you're doing. I could not disagree more with that reply. No one who buys a dental practice knows what they are doing, at least not the first practice they buy. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing when I bought my first practice, but yet I still made $750,000 my first year. You have to get started. You have to jump in. You have to find a practice. You're not going to learn by being an associate. That's not how it works. You learn by becoming an owner. So to answer the question, what are the steps you need to do after closing on a dental practice? The reality is it's impossible to give you all the steps because there are going to be thousands of things that you need to do when you buy a dental office. You're not going to be prepared for everything. You're going to have to learn on the fly. You're going to be learning a ton in your first year of practice ownership. I can't overstate how many things you're going to have to learn. There's going to be a lot of learning that takes place. But guess what? Lots of people have come before you and have done it. You can do this. You are a dentist. You've made it through dental school. You're going to figure this out and you're going to come to the other side and you're going to be more successful than you ever thought you would be. Now, I do recommend you need to find another dentist who has recently gone through this process that you can ask questions to. Think about friends you have in the area who are dentists, or maybe dentists that you went to dental school with. You know, anyone you know who's recently bought a practice, make sure that they are on your speed dial so that you can reach out to them and ask as questions come along. There are going to be so many things that you don't know, and you're going to need to have someone that you can ask questions to. Now, if you don't have someone right off the bat that you can reach out to ask these kind of questions to, find someone online. I personally hired a practice coach when I first bought my practice. Literally the first day that I owned the practice, I was stressed out and confused. And I was like, well, I'm going to need help with this. And I don't have time to learn all these things right now because I have a lot of patients to see. So I found a practice coach, a dentist who had done this before. I reached out and I hired this practice coach. I think I ended up spending $20,000 to $30,000 in that first year to pay this practice coach to help me get through some things. But overall, when I made $700,000, it was 100% worth it to pay that money because I had questions that I could shoot over to that practice coach and he was able to help me. We had weekly meetings at first and it was super helpful. So I recommend if you have a friend that will walk you through this, great. If you don't, honestly, I didn't. I was one of the first people out of my dental school class to buy a practice. So I didn't really have that many friends that had gone through this. So I just hired someone and it was totally worth it. The question goes on to ask, what about credentialing, hiring, setting up payroll, etc.? Okay, I'll go to each and every one of these. So first of all, credentialing, it can be frustrating, but obviously credentialing is crucial. You're going to need to find out what insurance plans the patients at your practice take, and you want to make sure that you're in network with those insurance companies. One hack is you can sign up for an umbrella policy, and this is a policy that gives you one set fee schedule that covers multiple insurance companies. And if you're smart, you can find an umbrella policy that pays more than the direct contracts with the insurance companies. I actually had someone, when I first bought a practice, reach out to me and say, hey, I have this ability to negotiate with the insurance companies on your behalf and get you a higher rate. And he sent me over a fee schedule. And the fee schedule actually was about $200 for a crown higher than some of the other contracts that I'd been receiving from insurance companies. So this guy wanted me to hire him so that he could negotiate for these insurance companies on my behalf. And instead of using him, he was wanting to charge like a few thousand dollar startup fee and then $50 a month ongoing or something. I just took the document that he sent me and I've reached out to the umbrella insurance provider with that document. And I said, hey, if I sign up with you, can you give me these rates? And they said, sure, no problem. And so I was able to get those higher reimbursement rates without having to hire this guy. And so my crowns, every crown that I did for the next year, I was making $200 more than I was going to be making if I just went with the first number that I was sent by the insurance company. And I did hundreds of crowns, so it definitely added up. But also fillings were higher, exams were higher, x-rays were higher. Everything was, you know, 20, 30% higher. So like, that was a crazy amount of money just by doing that one thing. So insurance credentialing is important, and do your best to see if you can negotiate higher rates wherever you can. Now, some companies like Delta Dental just has a set fee schedule for your zip code. You're usually not able to negotiate with Delta Dental, sadly, at least not. I'm in Tennessee. Delta Dental Tennessee does not allow that. Maybe some others do, but sometimes you just got to sign up direct and take what you can get. Next thing you'd ask about is hiring. Hiring employees is important. You're going to have to do it a lot. The easiest site to use is Indeed. It's the biggest one. It's the one that you're going to find the most people on. You're going to get a lot of applicants. It's super easy to do a job posting on Indeed. I've done a bunch of them now. It just takes you 5 minutes to set up a post, and you're going to get all sorts of applicants. Now, with Indeed, you're going to get some pretty crappy applicants, but overall, it's the easiest one to use. Now, if you can talk to some of your existing employees and ask them for referrals, some of their friends or people that they know, sometimes those employees can actually be better than the ones you get from Indeed. But I mean, I've got some really good employees from Indeed, so I'd start there and then ask your employees for referrals. Next is setting up payroll. What I recommend is you're going to need an accountant when you own a dental practice. So find an accountant that's able to also do your payroll. I think I paid my accountant something like $500 a month. And with that, they did my bookkeeping. They did the payroll. They helped with, you know, all sorts of other things when I had questions that came up. And so for me, that was worth it. I just paid the $500. I had an accountant that was on retainer, and I could have them help me any way I wanted. And that was worth it. So you can try to do it yourself, but if you can just pay an accountant $500 to take care of all that type of thing for you, so you don't have to worry about, you know, W-2 forms and all the documentation that comes with payroll, at least at first, just outsource that so that you can focus on the dentistry and focus on growing your practice. All right, next post, it says, first time buying a practice. It says, hi all. My wife is trying to acquire a dental practice, and we already know the selling dentist via my wife's assistant who introduced us to this dentist that she worked for in the past. The seller was ready to sell the practice for slightly lower price when we spoke to him. His collections are about $1.2 million per year. That's pretty good. He got an agent involved. That's typical. To help with the transaction and paperwork, the agent priced it at around $850. I mean, I don't know where this is at, but if you're getting a $1.2 million practice for $850,000, that's a pretty good deal. I've seen some practices that are 1.2 going for more than 100% asking price. So 850 is probably decent. Now, it's going to depend if you're in a city or more of a rural area. If you're out in the country, valuations are going to be lower. If you're in a big city, then this would be amazing. But I'm assuming this is more of a suburb type area based on that valuation. It says, but the dentist said that the decision is his to make. Yeah. If we try to get it for 850, how would the owner financing exactly work? Can there be a win-win situation for both of us? First, so there's a lot in this question. Let's first start with the 850 versus 800 asking price. When you become a practice owner, you're going to be making so much more money than you even know what to do with. It doesn't make sense to try to negotiate too much on the selling price of a practice. What you are buying when you buy a practice is goodwill. You want that dentist to be very happy with you. You know, what is an extra $50,000 when it's amortized over the next 10 years in a loan? It's really not that consequential in the grand scheme of things. What you don't want to do is make the selling dentist mad and end up walking away from the deal, and you lose all sorts of time and energy that you've put into this practice. Sure, if the dentist is offering to sell it to you for $50,000 less, absolutely you should take it, but don't make the purchase price of this practice be a barrier in you buying it. Because overall, if the practice is cash flowing and it's actually doing $1.2 million per year, then this practice is absolutely worth buying. Truth is, I consider $1.2 million a year a large practice, which means it's going to need to become a group practice. So you actually need to start looking. If you're going to buy this practice, you should start looking at finding an associate to come in there. Right off the bat, I think you could start out owning this practice by hiring an associate. And once you have an associate, you can easily get this practice up to $2 million, 2.5, and then paying back that loan is going to be super easy. So don't worry about the purchase price. But the next part of this question was, how would the owner financing work exactly? My first question is, why are you even trying to do owner financing? As a dentist, it is extremely easy to get loans from banks. Dentists get some of the best terms that banks have because, especially if you buy a practice that already has an existing cash flow, and if this practice really did $1.2 million in collections last year, it definitely has a very solid existing cash flow. So it's going to be extremely easy to find a loan from a bank. I would say don't even try to ask the owner for financing. Just, you don't want to have that owner staying around in your business. You want to take over this practice. You want to make it yours. And it's good to have that separation. You know, the seller sells and he's gone or she's gone and you take over, you're in charge and you're sending money to the bank. You're not having to send money back to that seller. So I wouldn't even worry about owner financing unless this is a practice that isn't cash flowing and for some reason the bank will not give you a loan for it. In which case, the question is, should you even be buying this practice? If a bank is not willing to give you a loan for a practice, that's probably a sign that it's not a practice worth buying. But if you are able to get a loan from the bank, I'd just do that. But overall, I would say this is actually a good opportunity. And if you find a practice like this, don't be stressing about the purchase price. I'd say just move forward because this seems like a great opportunity. All right, here's another question. What are the pros and cons of buying someone else's practice versus starting my own brand new practice? I've done videos about this before, but it's better to buy a practice. When you start a practice, you are not going to have any patients starting out. You're going to have to start everything from scratch. You're going to have to spend a lot of money to start a practice and you're not going to have any money coming in. But when you buy a practice, it's extremely easy to find a loan from a bank. And so generally, when you buy a practice, you're not going to have to spend any of your own money. The bank is going to finance 100 to 115, 120% of the purchase price. That means not only is the bank paying for the entire price of the practice, but they are also giving you working capital that you can use to cover some of your expenses. And when you do a startup, it's going to be much harder to find a bank willing to give you a loan because if you start from scratch, you're not going to have an existing patient line already lined up. When you buy a practice, you're going to have patients that are ready to be seen the first day you walk into that office. It's hard to overstate. That is extremely valuable to have patients. Finding new patients can actually be really hard, especially when you start out, because the major source of finding new patients is often referrals from other patients. So if you don't have any patients to give out referrals, then how are you going to get new patients? And so generally, it just means patients walking through the door and finding you on Google Maps. And you're not going to have any reviews starting out because you're a new practice. So just find a practice to buy. That's such a better plan. I've seen dentists that have gone from making $150,000 a year as an associate to making $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 their first year as an associate. But generally, if you do a startup, you're going to be losing money for your first year, maybe even the second year. You know, it might be year 3, 4, 5 before you even start to become even profitable. And even then, you're unlikely going to be making, you know, the kind of money that you could be making if you buy the right practice. All right, final question here. It says, average attorney fees for dental practice transition. It says, me and my wife, who's a dentist, are planning to buy a dental practice in or around Raleigh, North Carolina. We already have a practice in mind and we are looking for an attorney to help us with the LOI and other things related to the transition. What is the industry standard for attorney fees for practice transitions to represent the buyer? If anyone in here knows good attorneys, please let me know and I can contact them. Okay, when you buy a dental practice, it's best to have an attorney look over the asset purchase agreement. That's the final document that you're going to sign that is legally transferring the practice to you. Generally, there's a few reasons that you want to have the lawyer look over these documents. Number one is they might spot things that you aren't aware of and they can help you understand what's going on in some of these documents. But number two, they also act as kind of like a second layer of security that if something doesn't go through properly with this practice, you can then go back to your lawyer and say, hey, well, I had you look over this document. Why didn't you catch that? And generally, then they'll be able to help you out if something bad happens. Hopefully, we don't get to that, but you know, in the rare case that happens, having used a lawyer is going to be an extra level of security that you have. But there's absolutely no reason to use a lawyer through the entire process. Lawyers are very expensive, and truth is, they know a lot about financial documents relating to a practice, but unless you find a dental practice specific lawyer who's done hundreds and hundreds of these practices, a lot of times lawyers don't even know that much about dentists and about the actual things that are happening in a dental office. So I would not use a lawyer for anything other than that last step, that APA. Most lawyers, you can either pay them an hourly rate or you can pay them a fixed fee. Every lawyer is going to have a different way that they do this. If you are dead set on having a lawyer represent you through the entire process, including the letter of intent and all the negotiations leading up to the asset purchase agreement, then I absolutely recommend that you find a lawyer for a fixed fee. You can probably find someone for around $5,000 to $7,000-$8,000 kind of range for a fixed fee. Now that's reasonable. That way you're not spending $20,000 because that can actually happen if you make the mistakes. Now, I've bought multiple practices. My first practice that I bought, I made the mistake of hiring a lawyer for an hourly rate. And I tried to buy a practice and the practice didn't actually go through. The sale failed and I still had to pay that lawyer quite a bit of money. I lost like $12,000 or $13,000, and it was kind of a complicated thing, and I wish I knew what I knew now because I wouldn't have made that mistake. When you're working on the LOI, that's the letter of intent for the practice, that's not actually a legally binding document. So I don't even think you need to have a lawyer for that stage of the process. You just need to make sure that you're working with someone. It doesn't have to be a lawyer, but someone who understands the process of an LOI. This is something I actually spend a lot of time with clients. We work together through the LOI, and I think that's a really useful thing to have another dentist who's gone through this look at the LOI, because there's a lot of very specific dental type things that you want to put into a letter of intent. The letter of intent is where you begin the negotiation process. And so the kind of things that you put in the letter of intent are going to determine ultimately the kind of things that are in the asset purchase agreement. So for negotiation point of view, the letter of intent is extremely important. And if you put the wrong things in the letter of intent or don't include certain things, you can end up really getting on the wrong side of this deal and getting on a bad side with the seller. If you piss that seller off early on in this process, you're just going to ruin the goodwill that you had in this practice. So I would recommend finding someone to help you through this letter of intent, whether it be an attorney that you're paying a fixed fee for the entire process, or maybe you're finding another dentist who's gone through this process before. Also, it's good to have an accountant go through and look at some of the numbers for this practice. Now, generally, if you find an accountant that you're going to work with once you buy the practice, you can find accountants that'll just look through some of the documents for free. Now, for this free kind of service, they're not going to go in super deep details just because they're doing this more as a favor because they want you to ultimately be a client for them in the future. But they might spot something huge that you missed. So it's good to at least have that accountant look through the documents. But make sure there's someone on your side, someone on your team who has gone through this before and can help you, whether it be an attorney or someone else. But you do need an attorney to review the asset purchase agreement at the end. And if you just pay hourly to have an attorney review that asset purchase agreement, once you've already gotten all the way through the process just to that very end, then you might be able to get out with just spending, you know, $3,000-$4,000 on having the attorney look over that asset purchase agreement, rather than potentially spending $10,000 to $20,000 on an hourly rate from the beginning, or even a fixed fee of $5,000 to $8,000. All right, so let me know what you thought of that, if it was helpful me going through some of these questions on Reddit. If you have any questions of your own, I get, you know, 3 or 4 questions from dentists per day usually, and I try to answer them in as much detail as possible. If you send me any type of information or any questions, I'm not going to share that with anyone. It's very confidential. I'm very careful about keeping other dentist information private. I understand that there are a lot of egos and a lot of nerves going through this process. And if some information gets out, you know, your previous employer could get upset. And so I want to let you know that any questions you ask me are going to be strictly confidential. So feel free to reach out. Also, I recently put together a document that you can find on my website, practiceown.com. You can go to practiceown.com/PDF. And I've created a PDF document called the Practice Evaluation Checklist. It's over 20 pages long, and it goes through the 3 most important documents that you need when you're first initially evaluating a practice. And it goes over what type of things you need to look for in those practices, what some of the industry standards are, some of the numbers. Make sure you check out this document because it's going to be invaluable when you're looking at practices. You're going to have this document to go back to and reference the various numbers and to see if this is a practice that's worth buying. So check that out at practiceown.com. Thanks for watching the video, listening to the podcast. Reach out to me if you have any questions. My email is chris@practiceown.com. That's chris@practiceown.com. And we'll see you next time.